I am
great. Welcome back to the second portion of season 3, episode number 5 of The Grand Cast. I am your host, Chris N, here this evening with Mike Bustler.
Hello.
Local stand-up comedian of note.
Of some note. They call me Iron Mike Bustler. Iron Mike Bustler. I'm going to be the 2018 funniest person in Grand Rapids. You heard it here first, folks.
I'm excited to see that.
It's going to happen this year. It's my year. This franchise really can't take another loss. I'm going to hang up my jersey if I do, though.
You going to retire?
I might.
Oh, no.
At least for Grand Rapids comedy. I'll have to move. I'll have to tuck my tail between my legs and move. Go try out Cincinnati's funniest person, yeah.
Oh, browner pastures?
yeah, browner pastures, yeah. Easier pastures.
Is that one of their sports teams, the Browns?
yes, you're right. But that makes it sound like a shittier place.
The first mini segment here is called Let's Play Elimination Challenge. This is a new game for the third season, happening in every episode. So I'm handing Iron Mike, a list of lists. So there's three lists of 13 items, 13 movies, 13 television shows, and 13 comedians. Every episode, the guest eliminates one of the listicle components.
So these people have already... Oh, so they wrote their name. Amy and Bobby...
Yep, so from each list, you will go through the remaining options, talk about your feelings about them, and then choose the one that you would like to eliminate.
Oh,
until
okay.
At the very end of the season, there's only one remaining, which will be the popular choice.
Oh, well, there's already so much room for debate on this list.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about this. Well, I'm glad that Nolan wasn't in charge of this, because he would have crossed out Seinfeld. So should I read, how do you want me to present this to you?
Go through the whole list. The list of movies first, talk about your feelings about the remaining movies, and then I guess kind of justify why you're eliminating the one that you're eliminating. And then literally cross it off and make your mark next to it.
Yes. Right, Mike. And I don't mention the ones that they've eliminated. I guess I can if I want to.
If you want to, yeah.
But, yeah. All right. So, of the 13 movies, there's Old School, Step Brothers. I feel like those are kind of both in the same vein. Those are both Will Ferrell movies. Mm. I guess they're like his... Well, I would say Old School is more of a popular favorite than Step Brothers. Although John C. Reilly is pretty good. 40-Year-Old Virgin, ugh.
That wasn't a good noise, I don't think.
Not really, but I do kind of enjoy Steve Carell. Who else is in that?
Seth Rogen.
Yeah, that's who I was trying to think of, yeah. Seth Rogen, the other guy who was on The Office. I always want to say Patrice O'Neill, but he's like, he played Patrice O'Neill's boss.
Kevin Hart has a cameo in it.
Really? What is he doing it?
He's at the electronics store trying to purchase, I believe, a DVD player.
Huh, and he just plays like a disgruntled customer or something?
Yeah.
And this must have been before he was like the Kevin Hart now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because 40-Year-Old Virgin, that must have come out, I don't know, what, 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, at least.
This point?
Yeah, at least. Early 2000s for sure. That's weird. I was never a huge fan. Wayne's World... I appreciate Airplane. I also appreciate because it has one of my favorite lines of any movie ever is, hey, have you ever seen a grown man naked? I will never be in a point in my life when that's not funny to me.
One of my favorite movie lines of all time is from Wayne's World when Garth is at the counter talking about filling out paperwork and saying he needs to cross all the T's and dot all the lowercase J's. Because the cashier or whoever it was had a a bit of a wonk eye.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the proper way to describe it.
A wonky eye. I think the correct term is lazy eye. I don't know what's better, lazy or wonky. I don't know what I would prefer.
I'm not sure.
Probably lazy.
We'll get letters from the general public about...
for general intolerance.
Sorry, everybody.
What's next on the list? Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. It's pretty good. A pretty good movie. I don't have any qualms with it. Nothing really great to say about it either. This is Spinal Tap. Maybe one of my... I like that movie. I like that quite a bit. I would say that's maybe up there with the Wayne's World and Airplane. I view them kind of in the same as like classic good movies. Caddyshack, kind of in the same version. And then The Jerk, I have to admit that I have not seen.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
What? This is a Steve Martin movie?
Steve Martin. Yeah. It's a story of a period of his life where he... is very successful and also very unsuccessful, and then I guess finds happiness in the end. It's just...
And he starts off as a jerk?
His archetype is the jerk, I guess.
Hmm. Well, I guess I'm gonna say, just based on things I've seen and what I don't like, is Step Brothers. Because Step Brothers is a pretty... I guess there's funny moments to it, but I don't know. I find it to be... It would make a better, like, SNL sketch than a movie.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that.
I think it's tired by the time it's over. It's like, I get it. Huh. They're man children. Maybe like a 10-minute sketch. I don't know. A short, at least. Maybe SNL sketches is too insulting. Do I just have to do one from each?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I think that's a fair criticism.
Yeah.
Number four has been eliminated.
Yeah, whereas Old School, I said, was in the similar thing, but I feel like Old School has a bit more depth to it. The ending of Step Brothers is just predictable. There's no like, they're supposed to be like, oh, it's this nice moment where they get along now. It's like, who cares? This is what you saw the whole time. You knew that was going to happen. Old School, I don't know. I just feel like it was a little bit more relatable. Still not a great movie. That was like the other one that was on the chopping block is Old School. I'm not a huge fan of that type of comedy, like, you know, that the Adam Sandler movies and stuff that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, that's fair.
Even the Chris Farley, I guess Chris Farley movies, a little bit. I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan of them.
No Sandler at all?
What Sandler movie do I like?
Maybe...
I feel like there was one.
Waterboy?
No.
Maybe Little Nicky?
Little Nicky is probably the best of the worst.
Oh.
Because of the subject matter. I think they make like some like heavy metal references that I think are funny. But no. That's not for me. That's not for a guy like me. Alright, on to the TV shows. First one is Seinfeld, obvious classic, never gonna get crossed off the list. Cheers. I think it's before my time. I like it, I guess, as much as I ever will. I think it goes with what we were talking about in part one, is that comedy is relevant. It's too old for me. It's something that maybe the jokes are just not something that I understand. Frasier, maybe like 3-4 years ago, I would have had much stronger feelings of hate towards Frasier. Because it's like pseudo-intellectuals love Frasier, and that upsets me. But I can't hate on something for the people who like it. But I feel like the show itself is pretty pseudo-intellectual. I don't know. But I guess I've come around to maybe kind of liking it.
It has its moments.
It has its moments. South Park. Can't really hate on South Park. I've liked it when I was young. Still like that one, I don't know if it was the newest season, but the season before was doing, I don't know, got people talking again.
The internet troll one?
Yeah. That was a big one. That was a big year for South Park. And it was funny. I ended up watching that whole season. So that was, I mean, it wasn't the greatest thing I've ever seen, but it was funny. that scene where they're like playing, what song is it, while Randy's like trolling. He's like doing like the keyboard solo, but it's like on his, oh God, I can't remember what song it is. I don't know why I brought it up. I think it was a Boston song. He puts on this record and he like gets his little glass of wine. He's like just rocking out and like photoshopping dicks on people's mouth. Writing like terrible things on the internet. I Love Lucy, again with the outdated thing, but who's in Lucille Ball? I enjoy her, so that stays. Now, this one's confusing.
The U.S. version, it's okay. Not eliminated.
Oh, it's okay, the U.S. version. Okay, yeah, clarification. Yep. People hate on that. People also hate on the next one, Parks and Recreation. I guess they're in like the same vein. Why didn't you put 30 Rock on here?
I don't like 30 Rock very much.
Jeez.
I don't. There's something about Lorne Michaels shows. They just rub me wrong. Not a big fan of SNL generally. Not a fan of 30 Rock. Not a huge fan of Portlandia. Like, okay. It has its moments, but...
What about Community? Why didn't you put Community on there?
No. I feel like Rick and Morty is a better Dan Harmon show.
Yeah, but it kind of fits into The Office and Parks and Rec.
I felt like Parks and Rec was a
better choice for that.
Example, you're right. Of the genre.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, I never got all the way through watching Community.
Neither did
I. It
seems
so repetitive, but yeah. I watched all of Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I have friends who swear by it, but I've watched, yes. All right, so I'd say, actually, of those, my favorite is 30 Rock.
Hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know, I really like Alec Baldwin. Alex. And Tracy Morgan. That's a good cast right there. Tina Fey, too. I think she's a good writer. I don't know. But if you don't like SNL, if you don't like Lorne Michaels stuff, she's basically a Lorne Michaels person. Do you not like the UCB stuff?
I haven't watched very much UCB stuff yet.
Yeah. And, like, the just, like, the general improv. Because, like, her and Tina, Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, they started in, like, that Chicago stuff. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of a lot of the stuff they do. That earlier stuff. But yeah, I feel like those two kind of fall into the same category to me, so I'm going to lump them together.
Yeah.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Very funny show. Like it a lot. Rewatch it very frequently. Like if I'm going to watch something and I got to fall asleep and I only can pay attention to like 15 minutes of it or something, I'm going to put that on. And Monty Python's Flying Circus. This goes back to even a more extreme example of what I said for Frasier. It's for pseudo-intellectuals, made by pseudo-intellectuals. Well, maybe what's his name? The guy who went on to do sci-fi directing.
Terry Gilliam.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he was an actual intellectual, but the rest of them, I don't know. I really like 12 Monkeys. Now, that was a hot-ass movie.
Yeah, back when Bruce Willis was cranking out Gold.
Yes, in Brazil. He did Brazil, which is like a Criterion Collection movie. Like,
have you seen his newest one, Zero Theorem?
I watched previews for it, but I never saw it.
It's worth watching.
Okay.
I feel like his other stuff especially.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It got like a lot of bad reviews, didn't it? Or like not as rave reviews as his stuff usually does.
It didn't have like broad appeal, but if you're interested in sci-fi.
So yeah, I'll definitely watch it.
Kind of style, then it's a very good example of that.
Yeah.
But it's not for the casual.
Not for the casual viewer.
Yeah. Are you going to go see The Nightman Cometh at Dog Story Theater on August 14th?
Possibly. Isn't Josh is playing...
The troll. The Frank troll. Reynolds. Okay. Tom Hunt is playing Nightman.
Okay.
I don't know who else you know. Dayman is Zach Sherporn.
Okay.
He's done some stand-up.
Okay.
Performs at Dog Story Theater.
Oh, yeah.
They added another show for Saturday, August the 20th, would that be? 19th. Okay. The 19th.
So that's two shows for it?
So far.
That's pretty cool.
If I think if they sell out the second one also, then maybe they'll add more. I hope they keep adding more.
I haven't been to Dog Story in a while. I need to make it out there.
Every Monday, 7 p.m.
I know. For the longest time, I ran Holiday Bar, which...
Oh, yeah.
I didn't. That's a thing. That's a whole thing. That was part of the comedy scene thing. It's just like...
Oh, we didn't talk about Holiday.
People calling out the Holiday and person of the Holiday being like...
Oh.
I don't know if I want to rehash all this. It was all deleted.
Deleted, it shall
remain. It was, yes, deleted as it shall remain. Just basic, like... But that mic, I will say from my own experience, I don't really like it. And that's why I left it, is because I viewed it as unfixable, basically. Just like general audience there, no matter like what promotion you do. It was just always loud. It was just, it gave it a good run. Gave it like 2 years. And it was like, it's just not working out. Like what? I can't keep pouring energy into this.
What's your ideal venue for stand-up performance?
Well, it's like basically like for a small, like a comedy club is great. But if you're talking about trying to do comedy in a place that shouldn't be, or as far as like a bar, it's like the old blues bars are going to be like your best thing. Like something that has a stage in the corner. It only fits like 70, 80 people maximum.
Like Billy's? Do they ever do comedy?
Billy's has done a few shows, but it is... It's spaced out enough that you could easily be yelling to high volume and feel like you're not bothering the show because you can't... There's like a pillar in your way.
Yeah.
You're 30 feet away from the person. Maybe 40, 50 feet away from the person. It could be a good show, though. If you had a large crew... If it was like a pretty hyped up show where a lot of people came out to it that would overpower any sort of general riffraff, then it could be good. But as far as just like a weekly show, I don't think so.
No, there's a lot of riffraff there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's too big of a space for the riffraff to go unchecked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like, you know, Tip Top definitely has riffraff that comes in, but they get noticed and are the center of attention until ejected like pretty quickly, you know, just random street people and stuff like that who are drunk and yelling. And whatever, being a disturbance, that kind of stuff can happen, but whatever. All right, so we need to get... We got way, way off track there. Back to what I'm going to eliminate from this list, which you may have guessed it, is Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a classic, but I'm a fucking legend breaker right here. Aside from Terry Gilliam, though, we like him. I think he should stick to sci-fi.
John Cleese is pretty interesting too. He had a good autobiography.
Yeah, and I like his acting in other stuff, but that to me is, I don't know. You know, I had, this is something I haven't thought about in a long time, is I had a ninth grade science teacher who really liked Monty Python. And he would like talk about the intellectual value of Monty Python. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, I don't know. And I think I tried it because I was like, oh, he said something about like, you can tell how smart a person is by how funny they think Monty Python is.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, pretty...
douchey.
Exactly, yeah. But then he was such a big fan. And then it came out when I was like years later... after I, you know, it was in my mid-20s and stuff, I read in the news and it was a big scandal that he had got caught with his, like, he had like a camera that belonged to the school that was a part of like track and field, but it had like upskirt photos of young girls.
Oh.
And so I was like, well, what, that guy likes Monty Python. So maybe that's why I don't, that maybe that's, it stems into my hatred of it.
Yeah. Negative association.
Yeah. But I already felt negative about it. And that just pushed it even farther. I was maybe on the fence and that was like a hard push the other way. Now comedians, this is going to be hard because I'm mad. Who is A.W.?
Alistair Watt.
Alistair, he crossed out Bill Burr? Why? Do you remember why? Because he's misogynistic. You'll have
to listen to his episode. Yeah. A little bit of the...
Yeah.
He also had a negative negative association with him because a guy that he worked with who was awful was a huge fan of Bill Burr. So that kind of tainted him.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes. I can see that. I can see that. And then Bobby Phillips crossed out Louis C.K. Overrated, I would assume.
He just didn't want him to win.
Oh.
He felt there were better.
Yeah, yeah. Better choices.
Bobby made like very game theory decisions. Like he didn't eliminate the worst one, but he eliminated
the one that he
thought might win that he didn't like.
Oh, because he crossed out Monty Python and the Holy Grail for the movies. I just noticed this. Okay, so maybe me and Bobby are more similar than I thought.
He also got rid of The Simpsons, which is, that was shocking to me, but he thought it had a chance at winning and he thought he didn't deserve it, so.
Well, I would say Seinfeld more so because as bad as Seinfeld ended, The Simpsons has been, nobody is talking about how good The Simpsons is now, and they're going to keep churning those things out.
Hopefully.
So if you're going by Bobby's logic, Bobby, if you're out there listening, you should have crossed out Seinfeld. But I'm glad you didn't. So let's go to the comedians. Bill Hicks. Do we even need to read the rest of this? Because that's what I'm going to cross out.
Oh.
Chris Rock, amazing. Bigger and Blacker, one of the first specials that I really, I think it introduced me to like a different style of comedy. I don't think I was very timely. Well, it probably came out in like 98. So maybe I listened to it like a few years after it came out. At the time that I was getting into a lot of comedy, I was into like Mitch Hedberg, my first like stand-ups that I really, really liked, that I like bought the CDs and listened to. Mitch Hedberg, Todd Barry, a lot of this like really dry, one-linery stuff. And then Chris Rock was like, a big change for me. And it was like stuff that, I don't know, I guess, you know, obviously like a young white kid in the suburbs doesn't understand everything Chris Rock is talking about. But I feel like he did a pretty good job of explaining the idea. George Carlin, obviously a classic, like we talked about earlier. Maybe I don't relate to it as much as other people do, but still, I appreciate him for what he is. Jon Stewart, he's pretty funny. He's in my favorite movie, Half Baked, in one of my favorite scenes.
You ever look at a list of 13 comedians? On weed.
I don't know. The Daily Show, I guess, that put, especially towards the end, put like a pretty, I don't know, that's a stink for me for sure.
Mm.
Just like the constant like looking for something in politics to make a joke about is, like, I understand that that's what the formula was, but it became very tired for me. Johnny Carson, before my time, but I view him as one of the bigger legends on this list because I had talked about how much I like talk shows.
Were you a Letterman or a Leno guy?
Well, see, I went between both, but I think that I liked Letterman more when I was a kid, and now I appreciate Leno more than I ever did. He was actually on Joe Rogan's podcast, and I listened to it, and I was very inspired by him.
Leno was?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's probably one of the biggest guests he's ever had.
Recently, or was that?
Maybe six. No, it's been a while. Almost a year, maybe. 6 months to a year ago.
Download that right now.
It is a short one, too. It's only, but he tells some great old-timey stories that, and he really gets into it with Joe about what he thinks is right, the right way to do things and the wrong way to do things. Joe has his own idea. It's pretty good. And it gave me a definite respect for Leno. And Johnny Carson, I watched his documentary, but I mean, too young to really know him or really to be aware of his impact. You know, I wasn't around when he was a working person on the Tonight Show and everything. But I've watched his documentary. I like that he smoked a lot. I like that he kind of made Don Rickles. That's where Don Rickles came from for the most part. And all my favorite clips of Rickles are from Carson. So he gets a pass by me. I like him enough. Richard Pryor, despite the jokes that we talked about earlier that don't turn out well with time, I think some of his stuff was amazingly timeless. I think more so than George Carlin, Richard Pryor is definitely timeless. Some of the stuff that he talks about, as far as just like basic human desire about like burning yourself while smoking crack and like being unapologetic about it. And I don't know, the race relations stuff seems to still sometimes be a little bit more relevant than George Carlin. Can you know half of George Carlin's seven words you'll ever say on television? You know, I'm sure a million people have thought of this, but you know, you can't say half of them. I mean, Richard Pryor stuff is just seems a little bit more relevant to me still. Robin Williams, he's great. But to me, he was great when I was a kid. And I never really liked Robin Williams' stand-up. It's too cartoonish for me. And that's what I liked about it when I was a kid and disliked about it when I was an adult. But he has done some things, more dramatic roles that I kind of like. Like, have you ever seen the movie World's Greatest Dad?
I don't think so.
I think it's directed by Bobcat Goldthwait. And it's a pretty dark movie about a English professor who's like a failed writer whose son kills himself and all sorts of misinformation and trickery ensues. It's very, very dark. And then 24 Hour Photo, which is, it's in the same vein as that of him doing things that you're unsure of, but you maybe still kind of feel for that character. And that's a crazy role to play.
Yeah.
And Patch Adams was a good movie.
Did you see, I almost said Death Cab for Cutie, but Death to Smoochie.
Death to Smoochie. Yeah, that was good. That was a pretty dark comedy with Danny DeVito was in that.
Danny DeVito, Ed Norton.
Oh, yeah. Ed Norton played the Rhino or whatever. The competing, yeah, that was good. So, yeah, Robin Williams gets passed for me. Dave Chappelle, maybe one of my favorites of all time. New special that he came out with. I feel like that was ripe for criticism. That's such a vulnerable spot to put yourself into. He really knocked it out of the park. If he did anything less than great, people would have torn him apart. And Steve Martin. I feel like that's a toss-up between Steve Martin and Bill Hicks he should cross off. Steve Martin's just not my cup of tea. Never has been. Never liked the cut of his jib. Bill Hicks, I don't feel like was even a comedian. He was. Yeah, I get that. That's a bold claim. I don't know. He was more interested in conveying his political beliefs than anything else. And his political beliefs make no sense now. Nobody knows what he was talking about. Unless he's talking about the presidents. He's talking about some governor. What are you talking about right now? I have no idea what you're talking about. This is maybe was like headline news in this time. But it's like reading like Hunter S. Thompson's short stories where he's talking about weird like political things in his life. It's like, what does this even mean?
We don't have the context for it.
Exactly. And it's like, it's so of its time. Because, like, who was the... I mean, he's basically... I feel like what people respect about Bill Hicks is what they should just give all credit to. Like, if you... just give all of that credit that you give to Bill Hicks and lump it on Lenny Bruce. And he's, like, exactly... I mean, he's the rule breaker or whatever. The guy who was, like, putting it out there and telling it like it is. And so why do we need another one of those guys? We already had one. I guess maybe Lenny Bruce is too far back. We need another one from the 80s or 90s, where, you know, whatever his career spanned from. But I view him almost in like the Dennis Leary category, where just like, you maybe are a bit too full of yourself. Is that too far? You don't agree with me. What is your thoughts on Bill Hicks? Tell me.
No, I think that's your last criticism, especially, was fair.
Yeah.
Kind of his ego inflated towards as his career rose.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fair criticism. He was definitely very overly cynical, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of political stuff that, I don't know.
But I get what people like about him, though. It would be the same thing that people would like about, like, The Daily Show. And, you know, like, whatever. It makes sense, like, now. But in 20 years, I don't think those Daily Show episodes are going to make much sense. I guess because there's video proof. But if it was just, you know, Jon Stewart standing up there talking about, so in the new, you know, just like watching some of those old, like, monologues from Tonight Show. And you know, it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all. No. Yeah. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Jay Leno. It's like, no, I have not seen that or heard about that. So I think, just based on the rant that I did about it and how I'm not going to do one on Steve Martin. Because Steve Martin, I guess, he's okay. He's just never really, I don't have any objections to him. I just don't really care for him that much. So Bill Hicks goes because Mike say so. Hell yeah.
That was Elimination Challenge.
That's a good challenge. I like that one. New for the third season.
Yep, so 5 down, 7 to go until we have 3 winners. This next segment is called Improv Scene Suggestions. So I go to a few improv shows per month, and they're always asking the audience for suggestions, and I am out of ideas. So I would like yours, please.
My suggestion is always been, and I always want to see this recreated somehow, is don't ask, don't tell. You know, the old policy from the gays in the military. I guess it's outdated with this new no trans, you know, this all came out.
Oh.
Which is, you know, you got opinions on that. But doesn't that seem, well, because I think that's my thing on it, is don't ask, don't tell is so goofy now.
Yeah, I don't
it's
even
so
know.
Outdated and goofy now that was ever a thing. It's like, well, if you're gay in the military, just don't ask anybody and don't tell anybody about it. And that was a literal policy. And so that's why I think that's funny.
Yeah.
How would you do an improv if you were in an improv troupe and someone yelled out, "Don't ask, don't tell"? What would you do? I guess you'd be a gay army man. That's a hard thing to pull off as an improv group too. I think that puts them in a real hard spot.
I would probably like start to ask questions, but never actually finish, like get to the
You take it as a literal thing?
Yeah.
Now, I guess it's not 2003 anymore, so you wouldn't take it as a news story.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't even think of the historical context.
Well, I guess I would say gays in the military, but now it's trans in the military.
I have a list of prompts here that I'm going to give you.
Give it to me.
So if you could please tell me a location. As if... Okay.
Checkers the restaurant.
A location that would fit on the stage at Dog Story Theater.
I think you could do a front for Checkers. Yeah. It's just like the two windows that say Checkers on the top, because they get that walk-up service. That's the area that I'm envisioning, because there's no inside.
No, there's no dining area.
Yeah.
All right. A noun.
A noun. Driving.
Nouns, a person, place, or thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
I'll take driving for the verb, which is next.
That's what I was thinking of. I put too much thought into it. I told you I was going to put too much thought into this. I was thinking where's the scene was going and not what you asked me. That's the problem. All right. So now we've done a verb. Now we're doing a noun.
Yes.
So I guess I got to do a car.
All right.
This is where I was going.
A color.
Light blue.
An occupation.
Captain.
A letter of the Roman alphabet, which is the alphabet that we use.
X.
A relationship between two people.
Polyamorous.
Oh. I was thinking it was going to be X again. A word, any word.
Jib.
Good word. Word of the night.
It is the word of the night. I'm doing a triangle for that one. Jib. Oh, I hit the... Oh, Jesus.
Sorry, Josh. The last thing you paid money for.
Beer.
A genre of movie.
Sci-fi.
My favorite genre. An emotion.
Fear.
The first line of dialogue.
Oh, hello.
I like how that sets the character too.
That's totally not mine. That's just the first thing I thought of, and it is it's the only play I like is Oh Hello with John Mulaney and Nick Kroll on Netflix. Check it out.
I watched it.
Oh yeah.
I was doing other things while it was on.
Yes. But I didn't want to take credit for something that I didn't write.
A place you might go on a first date.
The bar.
A page number.
47.
A place you might go on vacation.
Miami, Florida.
A problem.
Fireworks.
Yeah, they're ruining the production quality. It's not even a holiday. You're not supposed to be setting fireworks off people.
I'm calling the fucking cops.
Oh, man. Sounds like they shot their wad pretty quick. So they did. I think it seems like
it's over.
An animal.
Panda. Again.
Something that would fit in your pocket.
A pen.
Three objects that might be in a room.
A person, a table, and a drink.
Specifically, which person and what type of drink?
Me and a lemonade.
The last thing you ate.
A turkey Swiss sub.
Something you might get into an argument over.
Bill Hicks.
Something you are scared of.
Open water, the ocean. Oh, ooh, I didn't even like to think about that. Ooh. Also being late for a comedy show. But not as much as open water.
Like being out on the ocean?
No. Like you're swimming and you're trying to like, cause you know, like even in, when I'm in a pool, I think of they're like something's going to touch my feet. Like going to grab me. Ugh, no, not for me. I'm not a guy for water. I'm an Aquarius. I like to be near water, not in it.
The title of a movie that has not been made.
Now, this is there's so much room for inspiration here that I got to think of something good. That's it right there.
Ooh.
The sound of a beer opening. That's like the symbol of Prince. That's what we're going to get into soon.
An audio symbol?
Yeah. It's just going to be, the name of this movie is that sound, if you heard that.
That would make waiting in line to buy tickets at the movie theater hilarious.
Exactly. Like, remember when Prince was a symbol? How did you say it? You said the artist formerly known as. You would say beer can sound. Because that's what the movie would be about.
Huh. I can't help but laugh at a joke about...
gay people. Your face made that so much better. But it's in my childish nature. I have nothing against gay people at all, but I cannot help it.
All right. I've always been lucky, but I never thought I'd be able to
Be a comedian, as corny as that sounds. Sometimes I do hype myself up on that when I'm not feeling that great about being comedy. Or that great about being a comedian.
That was improv scene suggestion suggestions. The next segment is called Please Read Me Song Lyrics. So these are the lyrics to a fantastic song. If you wouldn't mind, please reading them to me in either the style of spoken word poetry or any other style that you so choose at this moment.
Is this a popular song? I don't think this is a popular song.
In certain circles, it is extremely popular.
Oh, in certain circles. Well, I could be a part of this circle and not even know it. Hope dangles on a string like slow spinning redemption, winding in and winding out. The shine of its eye has caught me. I read that. The shine of it has caught my eye and roped me in. So mesmerizing, so hypnotizing. I'm captivated. I am vindicated. I am selfish. I am wrong. I am right. I swear I'm right. Swear I knew it all along and I am flawed, but I am cleaning up so well. I am seeing in me now the things you swore you saw yourself. What? Is this Radiohead?
This is Dashboard Confessional.
I knew it. So clear like the diamond in your ring, cut to mirror your intention. Oversized and overwhelmed, the shine of which has caught my eye and rendered me so isolated, so motivated. I am certain now that I am vindicated. You know, there's a comic, Josh Ortega, who really likes this, and he's either going to... Well, he's going to hate my rendition of it because I don't know the rhythm of it. And he's not going to like this. I am selfish. I am wrong. I am right. I swear I'm right. Swear I knew it all along. And I am flawed. But I am cleaning up so well. I am seeing in me now the things you swore you saw yourself. He has a joke about how if you really like a girl on online dating, you send them like some Dashboard Confessional lyrics like this.
Oh.
But if you just want to fuck, you say, yo, what that mouth do?
Yeah, that sounds like the two sides of the coin there.
That's the two sides of a coin. That's the basics of it. So turn up the corners of your lips, put them and feel my fingertips. Trace the moment, fall forever. Defense is paper thin. Just one touch and I'd be in too deep now to ever swim against the current. So let me slip away. So let me slip away. So let me slip away, so let me slip against the current. Vindicated, I am selfish, I am wrong. I am right, I swear I'm right. Swear I knew it all along, and I am flawed, but I am cleaning up so well. I am seeing in me now the things you swore you saw yourself. Slight hope, it dangles on a sing, like slow spinning redemption. I feel like you made me read something that was... That was not me. Sometimes it's like, is this a thing that Mike would do? This is not a thing that Mike would read.
Generally, probably not.
No, it was not.
I enjoyed it, though. Thank you.
I'm glad. I'm glad that you somehow put the pressure on me to do that. I felt like I had to.
Oh.
Normally, if someone asked me, like, hey, can you read this out loud? I would be like, no, dude. you got me to do it.
Oh, got you outside your comfort zone a little bit?
A little bit, but also it felt like the right thing to do without... even knowing it.
Huh.
And then I gave you the little... I feel like my trying to make it comfortable was telling you those little interjections.
Hmm. Thank you.
I think you're good at interviewing people. I'm not lying to you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. This next segment is called Let's Play Guess My Number. So I am thinking of a number in my brain greater than or equal to 1. And less than or equal to 1 million. You have one chance to guess what it okay. is. And I'm
Wait, you got to say that again because that was creeping on me.
Greater than 1, less than 1 million. It's a whole number, so no fractions.
Okay. So decimals. Just, yeah, in between 1 and 1 million.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm thinking of it right now.
69. Does everyone say that? Everyone says that.
Oh, that might not be the first time.
Yeah, it's definitely not the first time.
But it never gets old.
It doesn't. It's like a fart, dude. Fart will never be old.
Nope. Always gets a laugh.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, that was not the number I was thinking of.
Was it 420?
I cannot disclose that. I believe that was also guessed previously. And it's been the same number every episode.
What about 666?
Absolutely not. next segment is called Let's Play Words of Wisdom. So I'm going to read the first part of several common phrases. And then if you could please complete those phrases in a non-traditional manner, however you would like.
Okay. This is going to be difficult for me because I'm just going to say the phrase like it's a game show where you're asking me what the end of the phrase is.
You're not allowed to say the exact original.
I know, but okay. That's going to be what I want to do.
If life hands you lemons.
You fucking be like, what am I going to do with lemons?
Never spit into.
A wishing well. Is that.
I like that. Lefty loosey, righty.
Righty all the god dang time.
When in Rome.
Oh, man. I don't know. Eat falafel? Is that right? That's not even Rome. That's Greek.
It'd probably still be delicious. Yeah. It's pretty close. Birds of a feather.
Are the same bird?
Hmm. Question for the ages. The rain in Spain
is not affecting me in Michigan.
Hmm. Early to bed, early to rise.
And you kind of start to hate your life after a little bit.
Hmm. The journey of 1,000 miles
is way, way too long.
It's not what you look at that matters. It's
who's looking at you.
Ooh.
Oh, this is really saying something about my psyche here. And I don't like it.
Make new friends and keep the old. One is silver and the other
is cold.
Mm. Old people do get poor circulation.
They
sometimes.
Do. Yes, yeah. They do. Anyway.
Genius is 1% inspiration and 99%
luck.
Ooh. Mm.
This is a big thing that I was thinking about earlier. No, we're not going to get into this.
Knowledge speaks, but wisdom
is forever. Yeah.
That was Words of Wisdom. This next segment is called Elevator Pitch. So if you could please, for 30 seconds or so, pitch me on an idea. It could be a movie, a stand-up bit, an invention, a social construct, whatever you're feeling, as if we were riding in an elevator together for a short period of time and you wanted to convince me.
Please pitch me. Something is good. Okay. I got the perfect thing for you. So this is an idea that I've come up with recently is that the general emotion for racism has always been the same, but the way that racist people communicate this has changed. And that's why people say that old people are racist. But that's not generally true. What's true about that is old people are much more direct with their racism. Like an old lady will say, I don't like the way black people smell. And you're like, well, what? That's a jarring sentence and you're not gonna listen to it or respond to it. But modern day racists say like weird things that you're not exactly sure what they're saying. Is they're like, we're going to try to preserve the tradition of the region and the genetics of that. And you're like, whoa, did you just say genetic? Like, what? Are you saying that you don't like black people right now? Like, at least the old lady just said it. Whoa. Ah! Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
This is a mess that I made in this house. We got to hit pause.
No. Nah, it's fine.
I'll clean this up. If for those of you who are listening, I made a grand hand gesture and I spilled my beer.
Because I was really getting into the bit. I was really trying to sell it to you. I don't know if I'll buy it after this.
You probably won't, because everybody else I've tried to explain it to isn't buying it either. And that's why I haven't been telling people. At least you don't have carpet.
Yeah, that's fine.
I still, you feel like a butthole coming over to someone's house and spilling a beer in a live podcast.
I don't know. Oh, I think one person did it before, but not to this extent.
Not to this extent.
This is impressive.
Well, it really was a grand gesture that I made.
It was.
For the grand cast of making grand gestures that no one will see, that knocked over my beer, which you heard me open up.
Yeah, that was a fresh one.
It was, yeah. We did that for the movie title.
I was always told growing up never to cry over spilled beer, so.
Yes. You really only do if you're an alcoholic. And it's past 2 a.m., I guess.
Yeah,
I'm sorry for coming to your house and destroying it, you know.
Don't worry about it.
Well, I came in here, I spilled a beer. Now he's throwing away the paper towels. Maybe one of the most embarrassing moments of my life.
Ever?
Possibly.
Oh.
That was...
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Like, I was, especially because I was in the middle of telling you a bit. And the bit is completely gone. That there's no way that can be salvaged. And
yeah,
so what,
I just walked off the elevator. So sorry, not today.
Exactly. That was the worst pitch ever. I'm never gonna make it anywhere in this business. It's just stuff like that.
You just gotta practice.
You gotta practice. Oh, geez, yeah.
That was elevator pitch. This next segment is called Improvise an Ad for Tuesday Nights at Tip Talk Deluxe. So if you could please improvise a short audio style ad like one might hear on the radio for Tip Top.
All right. If you're going to be the best, you got to beat the best. Woo! You got to come down to Tip Top. Woo! Comedy. Woo! Tuesday. Tell them the Nature Boy sent you down there, and you're going to be satisfied with what you see. You're going to pick them up. You're going to slam them down. You're going to be slapping your knees, and you're going to be leaving satisfied. Now go down to every 9:30 at Tuesday, 857 Butterworth Street, and feel the power.
Thank you. This next segment is called Affirmation. So, Michael, your stand-up is fantastic. All the material that I've seen you do is extremely solid. Keep up the good work. Thank you for being a part of the Grand Rapids comedy community.
Well, that's a nice segment. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And I would second that. I've already told you that I like this podcast. Yeah, and that's why I feel that upset that I disrespected you with this beer spilling.
Oh,
like a common schwiller coming in your house. Spearing. And I told you before that I think it does really have an Inside the Actors Studio vibe. More contemporary, but with like the similar questions and like the listening. I think the listening is what's good.
I'm going to check that out on the YouTubes.
On the YouTubes. He does a lot of great stuff with Dave Chappelle. Watch the Dave Chappelle ones. And Dave Chappelle is the guy who hosted for,
That's the one that stood out the most to me.
Yeah.
Talking about his time leading up to his kind of leaving the spotlight, I guess.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that was very interesting. This next segment is called Member. It's a nostalgia segment. So what is something that you remember fondly from your childhood?
Something I remember fondly. Something that's actually getting one of the few reboots that I'm excited about, which is Rocko's Modern Life.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. I don't know if you've watched the trailer for it. Yeah, you watched it? Yeah. I don't get excited about those things. The recreations, whatever, are usually something that I'm not interested in or so far away from what I was interested in. That like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I liked them when I was a kid, but what is that now?
Yeah.
Whereas Rocko's Modern Life seems very much what I was watching. As far as all the but I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. It seems like, but that was definitely a huge, huge top favorite of mine growing up.
Nice. This next segment is called Looking Forward. What is something that you are most looking forward to in the future?
Getting better. Not even in any specific sense, just being better, I guess. So obviously with comedy, you want to be better, but just being better at all the things that I do. Maybe it was not always a goal of mine is to be good at things, but now I just want to be good at things.
I think continuous self-improvement is a very noble ambition.
Yeah, yeah. And it certainly has not always been my ambition. Yeah.
Yeah, mine either.
Yeah.
For a little while, I listened to the Tyler Durden a little bit too much, where self-improvement is masturbation, self-destruction is the answer, before I really knew about the whole context for the Fight Club narrative and what Tyler actually represented.
Yes, exactly.
This next segment is called Plug Social Media in Upcoming Events. So if there are any social media accounts that you would like to shout out, or if you have any upcoming performances or events.
I guess follow me at Sweet and Tender on Instagram. Come out to Unruly Brewing next weekend, or actually next Thursday. Let me give you the exact date for that. Unruly Brewing is a show in Muskegon at a brewing company. We've had a lot of cool comics coming through there. Some reason yes, it is August 3rd. That's a Thursday. We've done like two shows there already. We've had quite a few funny people come through. It's like a newer venue for comedy that we are trying out and seems to be working pretty well. I like it. Muskegon's not a town that has a ton of comedy shows, but it's not that far away from here. So it is cool. And check it out. Also, obviously, Tip Top Comedy.
Tuesdays at 9:30 p.m.?
Tuesdays at 9:30. Every Tuesday until Jesus comes back.
Seems like a brewery would be a pretty good spot for a comedy show, or maybe people get too loud, or
that can, yes, a little bit, but there's enough people there that are listening that it makes it, you can get into it. And that's what I think will happen with the Thursday night show, is that maybe more people will be there just for the comedy. Not to say that it's a bad show in any means. It's just that not a ton of people know that there's comedy going on. So there's definitely room for all the people who knew that comedy was going on. But then there's like, there was a family eating pizza who I don't think were super pumped about the comedy show.
The final segment of this episode is called Just the Tip. So if you could please offer one tip to other aspiring comedians.
Don't act like what you think a stand-up should act like. A lot of people do an impression of what they think a stand-up is, and that makes you look silly. Just do what you think is funny. Don't do what you think other people think is funny. And that's about it. And keep going up. Always keep going up as much as you can.
Thank you very much for being here tonight, Mike. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. It's been great.
And hopefully I'll make it out to Tip Top Deluxe soon for another Tuesday of stand-up.
Always a good time. Woo!
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back again next week with an all-new episode of The Grand Cast.